Welcome to the Association of Entrepreneurship and Regional Development Podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to large teams. My guest today is Juliana Kitak from Westminster Business School. She recently published an article entitled Pre-co-Entrepreneuring, a Comparative Phenomenological Study of Ukrainians, Refugees, Entrepreneurial Bricolage Practices in the UK and Romania. She co-authored this paper with Elizabeth Mikkelsen and Lillian Miles. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Taylor and Francis. Juliana, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Vincent, for having me, and thank you for the invitation.
Can you tell us, what is the origin of your paper? Why have you decided to address this particular topic? And what is the question you aim to answer?
So basically, this paper originated, first of all, from the passion of research, and more importantly is the fact that refugee, particularly Ukrainian refugee entrepreneurship, has received very little attention. Our paper being among the first one, if not the first one, basically, which captures not only the bricolage practices, entrepreneurial bricolage practices, but also, more importantly, the lived-in experiences of these refugee entrepreneurs. If we look from a political perspective, probably we all know that refugees, Ukrainian refugees, are the largest wave of European refugees since World War II. They also, we have a big debate going on with regards to their worthiness compared to Middle Eastern refugees when it comes to direct access to European labor markets and inclusion in entrepreneurship. They were allowed to open their businesses from day on when they were accommodated or offered temporary protection by European countries. So this basically motivated us as a research team to look into what is the unique context in which these entrepreneurial practices took shape and what motivated them to actually engage in entrepreneurial and bricolage in particular. Secondly, if we look at the literature from a literature perspective, we notice that there is a overlap between migrant and refugee entrepreneurship, which basically portrays, in most of the cases, refugee entrepreneurship as a subset of migrant entrepreneurship, which is incorrect from a contextual perspective because it takes away from or undermines the war trauma that refugees entrepreneurs experience in general and refugees as a whole population compared to migrant entrepreneurs who basically are not forced to leave their country, but actually they have their own decision. They can take their own decisions with regards to why and where to go. So these three perspectives motivated us to look into entrepreneurship and to address this knowledge gap, but also to contribute to some extent to evidence-based policies, which is another very important factor that we considered when we launched this investigation.
What are the main contributions of your paper?
So basically, as stated before, the knowledge gap that we aim to address, the blurred disciplinary overlaps between migrant entrepreneurship and refugee entrepreneurship. This was one of the knowledge gap that we consider, and therefore one of our main contribution is to reinforce that refugee entrepreneurship is a discipline in itself, and the contextual uniqueness that brings into discussion, such as war trauma, limited resources, and forced displacement, should be considered as very important factors in differentiating this science or this discipline, refugee entrepreneurship, from migrant entrepreneurship. But also, this is the right way to give us actually an insightful understanding of what refugee entrepreneurship means, really. Another contribution is the fact that basically we focused on bricolage practices, entrepreneurial bricolage practices, which are essential to refugee entrepreneurship, it seems like, when one of the limitation of their contextual practices is basically based on how creative they can use what they have at hand, which basically defines the root of entrepreneurial practices they have. Thirdly, we are very ambitious when it comes to contributing to the shift from assumption-based policies and practices, and universalist practices towards a more evidence-based practices, which I think is required for us in order to understand, to bring this knowledge forward, in order to create policies which inform bespoke approaches to entrepreneurship and support these entrepreneurs not only to survive but also to grow. Yeah. So
what was for you the main theoretical or maybe methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such a question?
From a theoretical perspective, or scholarship perspective more precisely, I would say that the clear differentiation between migrant entrepreneurship and refugee entrepreneurship against the overwhelming wave of overlap between these two disciplines, and reinforcing refugee entrepreneurship as a discipline on its own right rather than a subset of migrant entrepreneurship. And I think here it pushed us also from a methodological and ethical perspective, brought actually more challenges, because from a methodological perspective, as this is a phenomenological research, challenged us to gather very personal and very sensitive information when it comes to this deeply personal, unique experience about war trauma and how war trauma impacts their entrepreneurial decision. So we didn't look only into the context, institutional context of Romania and also the UK, and how the limitation of this context basically impact their entrepreneurial decision. But more importantly, I think the lack of support when it comes to their war trauma and acknowledgement in this regard that would push us to collect even more in-depth data, which I think was in itself very challenging, because we had, for example, interviews that where people are crying, and when we wanted to stop the interviews, they were saying, "This is my interview, and if you want to hear my story, you need to hear it in my own terms rather than your own terms." So this, you can see here, an overwhelming ethical challenge for us as well, not only methodological to collecting data in-depth information about their war trauma and experiences and how war trauma shaped their entrepreneurial practices, but more importantly, we are focused on do not harm to our participants, and yet many of them would stand their ground and say, "Look, this is my story, and the trauma that I went to cannot be separated from my story. So you either accept this way, or there is no story to be told." Yeah.
During your research journey, what was your biggest surprise, or maybe the most counterintuitive result?
I think one of the biggest or the significant contribution of ours study this way is the cross-cultural comparative experiences between entrepreneurial bricolage practices in the UK and Romania, more importantly, because Romania is an emerging country which rarely made it on the research agenda. So for that reason, what we could say that what was counterintuitive, was basically the fact that these people, our Ukrainian refugee entrepreneurs in both countries, they weren't just trying to make ends meet in most of the cases, but what they were talking about, actually they were talking about the opportunity of building online business models that would be war-proof in the long run, which I think is very interesting, given that in many of the cases, refugee entrepreneurship is a matter of survival, or is portrayed as a matter of survival, make ends meet and so forth. Yeah, we do see common bricolage practices between the two countries, across both countries, for example, financial bricolage practices or network bricolage practices, but also we see clear differences which are grounded in the fact that we have two different economic profiles. Yeah. So we have, for example, in the UK, we see selective bricolage and collective bricolage. So they were creating small corporations of micro businesses, I would say. While in Romania, they were more patching up in a way, engaging in parallel bricolage and network bricolage. However, in both cases, they were actually, most of the businesses, they were still registered in Ukraine rather than in any of these two countries. they're hiring Ukrainian employees. So they're very, very much reinforcing the war for their national identity. And as I said before, which is one of the critical counterintuitive findings, is that actually these practices, bricolage practices, were just a starting point towards developing, yeah, online war-proof, as they were saying, war-proof enterprises. Yeah.
What are the main implications of your work for entrepreneurs, managers, policymakers, practitioners in general?
First of all, implications for practitioners and managers, I think these findings enforce the fact that programs should be tailored to the needs of particular communities of marginalized entrepreneurs, which is key, because otherwise we would restrain and we would reinforce these communities to staying at the margins of entrepreneurship, where they have so much potential. And for example, if we look at the Ukrainian refugee entrepreneurs in the UK, basically most of them, they would have an international model already developed before the war. So for that reason, if we think that practitioners would reinforce and would teach them how to do entrepreneurship, it would be just a waste of time for them, right? So they need an infrastructure which allows them to grow rather than survive. And I think we forget the fact that not all the refugees or entrepreneurs are the same. And the fact that this wave of entrepreneurs is highly educated as well gives us the opportunity and the motivation as practitioners to look into how can we support them to further grow rather than hold them back and maybe reverse their entrepreneurship impact. Secondly, when it comes to policies, I think it's very important from the same to shift away from this universalism approach to, okay, let's tick this box and these are another group of migrant entrepreneurs and that needs to be integrated. Entrepreneurship in our days doesn't need to be, entrepreneurs in general do not need to be integrated. They just need to be supported, and therefore they need to be acknowledged for the diversity they reflect. Yeah, the fact that there are, for example, Ukrainian refugees are educated, more educated than other waves of refugees, for example. The fact that they have direct access to a European market, so they're not in the limbo for 10 or 15 years like any other generation or wave of refugees. I think we need to invite them to the table where policies are discussed, because many of them were saying, okay, we don't have access to high street banks, for example, but we need to, yeah, our business is not, we are not selling bits and pieces, but we are building an international business. We have international partners and so forth, and we need to be supported as such. So I think it's not only about giving access and let them be without the structural support or the framework for developing entrepreneurship, but rather inviting them at the table so policies are relevant for them as well, considering that the war probably won't stop anytime soon. And also because, as I said, it would be a shame to lose so much potential, entrepreneurship potential and income, particularly from this community of entrepreneurs who are all already acting at international level.
Thanks a lot, Juliana, for participating to our show and presenting your paper entitled Bricol Entrepreneuring, a comparative phenomenological study of Ukrainian refugees' entrepreneurial bricolage practices in the UK and Romania. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship-ed.com and on the main podcast platforms.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and please do not forget to follow us as well. So thank you.